One, if you turn in the Word of God to 1 Peter, the first letter of Peter, and chapter 2. And as God will help me, I want to, as it were, continue with the message of last week. Reigning as kings and priests on earth. And one day we shall be reigning with him eternally. We are kings, we are priests, if we are in Christ Jesus. Reigning in life as kings and priests. You'll recall that last week one of the things we said was that if we indeed belong to the Lord God, we are a holy nation. We are a separate people. We are a people belonging to God. We are a people that have been called out of darkness and brought into his marvelous light. Amen? And that means, as Peter says, and in other places, that we are aliens, we are strangers on earth. We no longer belong. The kingdom of heaven has come upon us. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God's dear Son, is now within us. Hallelujah. So how do we live as kingdom people on earth? In preparation for when we will be in eternity with him, reigning with Christ. 1 Peter and chapter 2. We read down to verse 10. Therefore, laying aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore it is also contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will be by no means be put to shame. Therefore to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offence. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And keeping, as it were, a finger in, on that page, if you turn to Revelation and chapter 1, Revelation and chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. To him who loved us, verse 5, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and our Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. To him who has loved us and washed us by his blood. Some of you got a hymn coming on. I can see it. Yes. Go and start it, Vera. Unto him who has loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. He has loved us. He's washed us. Are you washed this morning? Are you washed this morning? What does it mean? What does it mean? You've been loosed. You've been set free. You've been loosed from your sins. Those sins which separated you from God. You've been loosed. You've been set free. You've been washed. You've been redeemed. The redeemed are now delivered from sin's condemnation. The redeemed have now been set free, loosed from the power and the grip of sin that they were once under. And now we have fellowship with God. And as we walk in the light, we are kept clean by the blood of Christ. Kept clean, washed. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And it says in verse 6, he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. He has made us, made you kings and priests. We are royalty. We are royalty. Just think of that. You are royal. I think of Paul's prayer to the church, which we read about in Ephesians in chapter 1. And we read in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of revelation and of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All of the fullness of God resides in Christ. He is fullness, but he resides in his church. Hallelujah. He's seated above all principalities and powers, and we by faith are seated with him in the heavenlies. Wow. We are royalty. See, friends, we need to know this. We really need to know this and for it to take hold of us. There's a verse in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, where it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And as they have rejected knowledge, so the Lord will reject them as priest." My people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. My people can destroy themselves because they don't know the word of God. They don't use the word of God as kings, as priests. They don't use the word of God against the enemy. It's a powerful word. It's the word of God. It's a sharp word. It can divide us. It can cause us to, as it were, tremble and get on our knees before the Lord, so that we can then receive his wholeness, forgiveness, direction in our lives. The lamp, the word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. But we should use the word against the principalities and the powers. My people are destroyed. Maybe we're not where we should be because we have not proclaimed the word of God over the situation, over principalities and powers. It's a living word. Don't let us be destroyed through lack of knowledge. We are seated with Christ. It's a powerful word. It's a sword. He has raised us up together, Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians. He has raised us up together. He's made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he would show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We are kings, we are priests, we're royalty. If you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, you've got royal blood in you. Hallelujah. Don't envy Prince William or Prince Harry. You are far more royal than they. You belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There, in 1 John and chapter 4, verse 17, we read, "Because as he is, so are we in the world." Because as he is, the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords, so are we in this world. As he is the great intercessor, he is the one who ever lives to make intercession for us. So we are in this world making intercession as priest. The word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, "For he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." We are royal. Are you joined to the Lord? You have his spirit, you're one spirit with him. Doesn't mean you're a god. No. But you belong to him. And yes, you are children of the living Lord God. What a privilege, what a favour, it's all of grace. Hallelujah. Friends, let us be aware of our position in Christ. Be aware of our position in Christ. Do you know something? If we are aware of our position in Christ, if we take this word, we apply it, ask the Holy Spirit to truly empower us, to quicken us with this word. You see, this word is life. This word is life. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us into this truth. He doesn't want us to be lacking in knowledge. He doesn't want us to be lacking in faith. He wants us to please God with faith. Do you know, if you're in Christ, if you're seated with Christ, if my position is in Christ, Satan trembles. Satan is afraid of your position. Satan is afraid of your position. Why do we know that? Well, there are many scriptures. We could have a testimony time here again where we could share how, you know, Satan, we saw Satan dethroned in our lives at different times. But do you know why one particular scripture which comes to me, why Satan is afraid of your position as a king and as a priest, as being in Christ, because why he should be afraid? Because greater is God who is in you than he that is in the world. So if that's greater, he should be intimidated and not the other way round. Amen? Amen? We've got to get hold of this, friends. We've got to get hold of this. We've got to let this really grip us. And it will make so much difference to the way we live, the way we worship, the way we fellowship, and the way we go about our daily tasks. We are far above principalities and powers. And so what about the priesthood of believers? Let's just go back to Revelation, if you may still be in there. Revelation chapter 1. And again, verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And chapter 5, verse 8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth, present and future." Brothers, sisters, as a royal priesthood, we now reign with Christ. We reign with Christ on earth by our worship, by our prayers, by our intercession, and by our witness in word and deed. Well, all believers, all Christians, all who have been born again by the Holy Spirit and have been filled with his Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, who are now one of these living stones which we read about in Peter, who've come to that chief cornerstone, have embraced the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, the foundation, the big stone, the large stone, the great stone, the stone, if he wasn't there, we would never be joined, have anything to be joined to. But we, as living stones, have come to him. If we indeed have been born again and are in fellowship with the Lord, if we've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are full-time ministers. We are full-time priests. We are full-time. We're in full-time service to Jesus Christ. Look, there is no such thing, biblically, in the New Testament, as lay believers. There's no such thing as lay believers. The clergy and the lay is unfortunately wrong and is hindered so much of the work and the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Certain believers may have the gift of pastor, teacher, or of an evangelist, and they may receive financial support from the rest of the church, from their body. But this does not make them a reverence or a special class or elite above everybody else. It doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't make them above and the rest second class citizens. Not in the kingdom of God, it doesn't. That's how the world views things. That's how the world views things. And they have their elite groups and so on. We are all full-time priests in full-time Christian service. We are a spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood, which offers up spiritual sacrifices. And the house is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I wonder if God may help me to develop that a little bit more next week, because I do believe God wants to bring us into this truth because it will liberate us. And I long to see the body more active in when we come together in praise, worship and in teaching, but also that we truly seize this day of opportunity. So wherever God has placed us, we see ourselves as priests. How do I do it? How can I become a priest? We want to be very practical about this. And there will, I hope there will be feedback and we can ask the questions of each other and so on. What does the word say? There's one thing I just want to focus on this morning, friends. Our Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the old covenant, if you like, the Old Testament priesthood. He's fulfilled that. And what he's done now, he's building a church in which every living stone is a priest. Every living stone is a priest. Priests who offer up spiritual sacrifices. Priests represent God to men and men to God. Priests represent God to men and men to God. Christians are a holy priesthood. So we need to ask the question, are we representing to men, to our fellows, by our life, are we representing God? Are we representing him by an intercessory prayer? And that's what I want to focus on now. Because as priests, we cannot offer lambs, we cannot offer goats. That is finished. But Paul tells us to offer up ourselves as living sacrifices. A life of worship. Life of service. We are kings and priests. Remember, before Moses gave the commandments to before God gave the commandments to Moses, as Moses went up into the mountain, one of the things God said to Moses, as recorded in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, "You shall be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." That's what God said to Moses to tell Israel, "You shall be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." As Israel was freed from Egyptian bondage and became a new kingdom of priests unto God, so the redeemed, set free from sin's bondage by the blood of Christ, become a new nation under Christ. You are a holy nation. Under Christ, you become a new nation. And this spiritual kingdom is made up of priests, serving and glorifying God. What a contrast to, say, Caesar's kingdom. And that's what really got them befuddled in the New Testament. Caesar is not Lord. Christ is. Hallelujah. Within the body of Christ, we are all called to be priests, to offer up praise and worship. And yes, there is a specific calling for intercessors. When I say that, I'm not referring, say, to a group of people whom God has necessarily called out and their ministry, if you like, full time, is intercession. We need them in the church. We need intercessors. And I pray that God will equip and call many of you to give yourself to intercession. I'm going to develop that in a moment, very briefly. If you are an intercessor, or if God is calling to you this most vital, important work, it doesn't mean that you're an elite person. It doesn't. Because Only humble people can be intercessors. And all of us should be humble before God. So I'm praying, God, even today, will rekindle. If you had been and you knew that in days gone by you were able to intercede, you were able to plead on behalf of others, you were able to plead on behalf of the church, you pleaded, you interceded, and you heard from God, and you were able to share, I believe God is saying this. God has spoken. You pleaded, you interceded. You represented man. You represented church before God. I'm praying that that will be rekindled in some of you this morning. But I'm also praying that others of you will see this work is vital. This ministry is vital. But I also declare, if you're a priest, you are an interceder as well. God wants to help develop you. And I want to help us to encourage and develop real intercession. Real pleading. Getting before the Lord. We need to give much greater recognition to being priest. Worship, intercession are two major weapons of our spiritual warfare. They are. Satan doesn't like worship unless it's given to him. All worship given to God, he opposes. He still wants to be God, Satan does. That's why Antichrist one day will be revealed. But the Lord requires our worship. Satan hates it. There's power in praise, you know. Oh, yes, there is. And intercession. Ah, intercession which is of the Holy Spirit. And of course we must not think that if we praise loud and pray so loud long enough, we will get what we want. I think there's a story in 1 Chronicles, isn't there, which most of us will be familiar with. 1 Chronicles in chapter 13. You know, when the ark was brought and things went a bit skew-whiff. In verse 7 of 1 Chronicles chapter 13, they carried the ark of God on a new cart. Okay? So they were being disobedient. They carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps. So it was all with their might, okay? They were making a good noise. Nothing wrong with a good noise. I wish sometimes we were a little bit more, you know, those of you who are from, oh, I'm going to get into trouble now. Those of you who are of African culture in you, you've got so much you can teach us and show us. You hide. You're hiding what God has given you. You've become too like me. Please, you know, we want so we can be exuberant and joyful and dance and wave. We're all inappropriate, please, friends. You know, this is why, you know, what an opportunity when we came to this place that we could have done away with the chairs. You know, if you need a chair, you need a chair. Do you know what I mean? If you need a chair, if you want a chair, you have a chair. No, absolutely, you're free. But again, we've got into church mode. We sit in our rows. We should be free more. We should be, friends. Can I encourage you? Don't get into a, you know, oh dear, no, we'd better do this now because Jim's... No, please, you're free. All I'm saying is we ought to be much more expressive in our public praise and worship. And my African brothers and sisters have so much they can teach me. I hope I haven't got into trouble. Verse 9 of chapter 13. And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. So they were praising God, weren't they, with loud instruments. But because of disobedience, what they got was disaster. King David realized that there was a lesson to be learned from the death of Uzzah. And when David had learned the lesson, he went back in. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and the opening verses. Chapter 15 and verse 1. David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, "No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before him forever." And David gathered all Israel together at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to its place, which he had prepared for it. So here, David shares the lessons the Lord had wanted to teach the people of Israel. Their disobedience, their mistake of being disobedient, that they hadn't given to the Levites, the priests, their God-appointed task, their God-appointed job. And what they did, they substituted a new cart for the shoulders of the Levites. They did their own thing. They substituted a new cart for this ark of the Lord instead of the shoulders of the Levites. It was, in those days, the job of the Levites, the priesthood, to carry the ark on their shoulders. And it is the job of intercessors today to carry prayer on their shoulders. To carry prayer on their shoulders. In verse 11 of chapter 15, and David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Abinadab. He said to them, "You are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us, because we did not consult him about the proper order." So the priest and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded, according to the word of the Lord. Then David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers, accompanied by instruments of music, stringed instruments, harps and cymbals, by raising the voice with resounding joy. David called for the priest and explained the problem to them. He explained what the order should have been. And further on, in verse 26, they got it right. For all the God... And so it was, when God helped the Levites, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bulls and 7 rams... It was when God helped the Levites. We can so easily, can't we, go along with our own plans, our own ideas, and just ask God to bless them, rather than doing them what God wants, rather than having plans that are God's. And we have seen here in that little short passage that the victory is won not by how much noise they made, but by worship, by obedience, by intercession. And the Levitical ministry in the church is the ministry of intercession. The Levitical ministry within the church, within the body, is that of the ministry of intercession. And I say again that all of us should be involved in intercession in the New Testament church. And we will try and help each other to fulfill that role very practically. For some, particularly those who have perhaps more time, maybe not having a family, maybe they've finished their work stint, God is raising you up and perhaps rekindling this intercession gift, because we need it. The church needs it. Without the ministry of intercession, the church operates on a lesser new cart principle. I say it again. Without the ministry of intercession, the church will be operating on a lesser, inferior new cart principle. We cannot say to God, here are our plans, now bless them. We need to operate, and indeed Mark and I have been talking and praying this through, or seeking to pray this through, we need to operate on the principle, what are your plans, Lord, that we may do them? And you, the body, have so much. We've learned some lessons even in the past 12 months. If only the intercessors had been alerted. If only. So we've learned. God's been merciful. He really has. And God wants this body to fulfill its potential. It will be powerful. And when we see ourselves as kings and priests, oh, hallelujah. When we know that God is for us, who can be against us? We need the intercessors. I think we can thank God as well, friends, that we haven't suffered the same fate as Uzzah. We need to be perhaps a little bit more circumspect about our programs and activities. And when we've heard from the Lord, when the intercessors have prayed, and when we've got the heart, the mind of the Lord, we go for it. Full-heartedly, wholeheartedly, because we know it's going to be a supernatural act. It's going to be a supernatural work. Amen? What is a man will burn up, dry up, be thrown away, be like hay, wood, and stubble. But what's of God? And I thank God for revealing things to us, even in these days. But friends, we need the intercessors. What an exalted privilege that we have, and that we can come boldly before the throne of Almighty God with our prayers, with our request. I'll say, friends, I don't believe in my generation, in the West, in the UK particularly, I don't believe that the church has touched the fringe of the possibilities of intercessory prayer. I believe yours, the church's largest victories, will be witness when individual Christians everywhere come to recognize their priesthood unto God and day by day give themselves to prayer, and particularly intercessory prayer. I put down here a quote by A.W. Tozer. The church that is not jealously protected by mighty intercession and sacrificial labours will before long become the abode of every evil bird and the hiding place for unsuspected corruption. The creeping wilderness will soon take over that church that trusts in its own strength and forgets to watch and pray. Somebody else said, God has no greater controversy with his people today than this, that with boundless promises to believing prayer, there are so few who actually give themselves unto intercession. When God initiates, the supernatural is involved. Oh yeah, there'll be a battle, of course there will be. But God's in control and he's leading. Jesus is the head of the church. We need to hear from the Lord. Intercessors, you have so big a part to play. Waiting upon the Lord. Weeping, praying, crying, groaning, interceding. And God will reveal his plans. God will. As you're praying and interceding for the lost, those around you, that you get his burden for them, he will appear. He will give a spirit of revelation and of knowledge. He will give a spirit of wisdom. As you pray for the neighborhoods, and as you pray for this body, God will reveal his plans or confirm them to you. We don't want to run ahead of the Lord, but we want to be in step with the Lord. Intercessors, priests, much depends. There is a lesson, of course, from the Old Testament, many lessons about running ahead and doing our own thing. A warning to us is Ishmael, isn't it? Ishmael is a warning to us. Ishmael was born of good intentions, but he wasn't from God. Isaac was from God. We desperately need the intercessors. Intercessors to minister as priests. And yes, we are called to be a royal race, a holy priesthood. We are part of God's royal family. We are a kingdom of priests. And if you want to be in the kingdom, you have to be a priest. We are to be living holy sacrifices, well pleasing to God. As we come to prayer and have a closing song or two of worship, if you just feel God quickening you to just lay yourself before him, kneel before him, because you just want that burden and that privilege of intercession. And we've all got excuses, and you possibly have made excuses why you haven't. And some of them are very legitimate excuses, very legitimate. But this is a new day, and I'm saying this church, this town, needs intercessors. People who realize their position in Christ. All of us should be interceding, but for some of you, God is calling you again. And for the first time in one or two of you, saying, I see the need. This is where I'm fitting in to the body of Christ. Feel free to kneel where you are or come to the front. We want to help each other. If you say, how do I? What is involved in intercession? There's some amongst us here who can help and encourage you and show you the scripture and show some practical ways where you can intercede and see the heavens opened. The heavens opened. The heavens opened.